Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, evangelist for the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the following sermon. Please follow the example of those noble-hearted folks in Acts 17:11 and compare the following teaching with the Word of God. If, after careful examination, you feel the things I've taught are in accordance with God's Word, then I exhort you to apply these truths to your life so that you may be a faithful servant of the Lord. On the other hand, if you believe I've taught error in any way, please contact me and let's study together and try to come to the right conclusion based upon God's holy word. You can find my contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. Now to the sermon. This morning we want to talk about Othniel. And our lesson will be based upon Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. By the way, Eli gets an A-plus for pronouncing some of these names. I'm not going to do as well. But I want to read through these again very quickly just to set the stage for our lesson this morning. Judges chapter 3, verse 7. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim, so the land had rest 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Othniel is someone who we know as a descendant of the great man Caleb, one of the spies that was sent in to spy out the promised land, one of the few that was faithful in their report when they come back to the people. In Judges chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says, Then Caleb said, Whoever attacks Kirjath-Sefer and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Aksah as wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So he gave him his daughter, Aksah, as wife. So Othniel was actually a younger brother to Caleb. He was related to a national hero, a brave and valiant man. Caleb, again, was one of the faithful spies who thought they should go in and possess the promised land, who gave a positive report, and who trusted in the Lord that God could deliver them, and God could make them prevail and be triumphant in overtaking this land and overcoming any obstacles that might be included in the overtaking of the land. God had numerous, tremendously good things to say about Caleb in the Word of God. Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 24, the Bible says, But my servant, Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Numbers 32, verse 12, we can read a similar thing. Deuteronomy 1, 36 deals with Caleb's inheritance. And he says, because he wholly followed the Lord. Again, Joshua 14, verse 9. And we're told there again about Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. But now we come to Caleb's younger brother, Othniel, Israel's first judge. And I want us to learn three things very quickly this morning about Othniel. Number one, I want us to see a departing people. Judges 3, 7 and 8. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, served the Baals and Asherahs. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against them, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. It seems astounding. That after all God had done for them, they so quickly forgot Him. And strayed off to serve bits of stone and wood and metal and false gods. God had shown living power to them in the deliverance from Egypt. They saw at least a miracle a day during the wilderness wanderings as they arose each morning to the manna that had been provided by God. He had led them miraculously across the Jordan River into the promised land. He delivered the mighty city of Jericho into their hands in a strange and yet powerfully miraculous way. He continued to do so as they swept across the land of Canaan, conquering under the great leadership of Joshua. They knew what God had done for them. Joshua chapter 24, beginning of verse 16. So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed." So they knew all that. How richly God had blessed them, and how foolish they had been at turning their backs on Him. It wasn't that they completely forgot God or completely forgot about the fact that He exists. They just added in the worship of false gods. And so they despised Him and treated Him as if He were just another god tossed among many. God had warned them often about what would happen if they served these false gods. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, 'Have not these evils come among us, upon us, because our God is not among us.'" Verse 30 of the same chapter. "Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." And then part of that song, chapter 32, verses 17 to 22, they sacrificed, well, let's just begin in verse 16. "They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, He spurned them." They were warned, yet they wondered. How foolish it is to wander from a loving, faithful, merciful God. Israel wandered even farther from God as we travel through their history, through the judges and the kings, until God finally had them carried away from their promised land. And when they came back to their land, they wandered away from God by supplicating His word with their own man-made doctrines. Not with idols this time, but with their own man-made doctrines. This was the state they were in when Jesus came on the earthly stage. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3. The Bible says, "He answered to them, 'Why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition.'" Verses 7 to 9. "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" See, they had departed from God again. They had departed from Him. "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So that's how they got far from God again. That's how they departed him this time, was through circumventing the commands of God with the man-made commands and traditions of man. In Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote some stinging words. Actually, in a sense, there was a compliment in these stinging words. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul first shows his heart when he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God." Now here's the stinger. "But not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." They sought to do it by their own rules. To do it the way they thought best, serving God, rather than submitting to God's way. And Paul says that they're lost because he's desirous that they may be saved, indicating that they're lost. They had departed again from the living God. They were warned, yet they wandered. Religious people today do the same thing. God warns us about changing the doctrine of Christ. There were some who were trying to do so. And Paul addressed them in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. When he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel," which is not another. Paul didn't want to indicate that there's another true gospel out there. No, this is a perverted one. "Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Anathema, out of the camp. Away from God. "And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." The Bible even ends with this popular warning in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." 2 John verse 9, "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." On and on we could go. And yet people wander from the most basic, simple, and essential teachings of Christ. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. People wander from that. They run from it. Acts 2:38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins." People wander from that. They run from it. 1 Peter 3:21, "There's an antidote which doth also now save us, baptism." People run from that. They wander from it. Acts 22:16, "And why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." People want to have nothing to do with that verse. And they wander and depart from it. They're warned, yet they wander. Because of Israel's departing from God, He brought on them a great punishment. Because of people wandering from the truths of Christ's gospel today, God will visit them with eternal punishment. "Let them be accursed," Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. And so from the story of Othniel, we learn some valuable spiritual lessons when we see a departing people. Number two, we see a desperate prayer. Judges chapter 3 and verse 9. "When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord," they cried out to the Lord. Now thankfully at this time the people weren't so far removed from God as to realize that He is still there for them to plead to. Notice the desperation of this prayer. We're told that they cried out to the Lord. They had been oppressed for 8 years. It's amazing to me that they were willing to put up with this for 8 years. That it took 8 years for them to finally realize the helplessness of their false gods and finally cry out to the true and living God. That they were willing to rely upon themselves through the work of their own hands in molding idols to deliver them. How often do we sometimes feel that we'll take care of things ourselves before making an appeal to our God for help? We should always come to God first. Anything less is a proud assertion that our strength is stronger than God's and that our reliance upon Him is not complete and whole. Oh, how often Israel has turned from God, then cried out to Him, and then He mercifully delivers them. We serve such a powerful and merciful God. And I'm so thankful that the true and living God is not like all those man-made gods of mythology. These gods are the kind of gods you would expect to come from the mind of men. They were mean, aggressive, self-serving, unjust, fallible. But not so with our God. He is all-powerful, infallible, and has placed Himself completely at our disposal whenever we're inclined to call upon Him. There's great significance in that. And that fact offers more peace and hope to the heart of man than the most glorious of modern day knowledge and technologies could ever give. Never underestimate the great teaching of our Lord when He said in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." What a wonderful promise from a loving Savior. And it doesn't end there. Philippians 4:6-7, that familiar passage that says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." James wrote in James 1:5, "And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." John in 1 John 5:14 speaks of the blessing of the confidence that God's children can have when they pray. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God always hears you. You know, I don't have a hearing anywhere I would like. There are plenty of people, not just the president and others, but plenty of people all around that if I were to ask for a hearing, they wouldn't even listen to me. And yet the God of the universe, the Creator of all things, I can speak to Him anytime, and I have His attention. This is the same God to whom Israel cried out in the days of Othniel. We must learn to pray to God. Number 3. Talking about Othniel, we see a departing people, a desperate prayer, and a deliverance provided. Verses 9-11. "When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim." God provided a deliverer, and He provided a great deliverance in response to their prayer. We see God's wrath turn to pity. He who chastened when they sinned, now comforted when they prayed. Again, what a great attestation to the power and effectiveness of prayer. Othniel was the man of the hour. He had distinguished himself already militarily when he defeated the great city of Kirjath-Sefer and won his wife. He clearly had lived a life of high character so that the Israelites would be inclined to follow him. He was a God-chosen vessel used to answer a prayer and to deliver God's people from destruction. I cannot help but to reflect here upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth as a man. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him and without Him, and nothing was made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. The Bible says of Jesus, therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of His people. In all things He became like us. But we also learned there that He came to deliver us from our sins. To deliver us from destruction. Matthew 1 verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. For He will save His people from their sins. John chapter 1 verse 29. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus came to be our deliverer. In many ways, Othniel was a deliverer of God's people. Jesus had a flawless character and lived a sinless life. But just as Israel had enough sense to follow the deliverer God had sent them, Othniel, people today must have sense enough to follow and obey Christ in order to be delivered from their sins and impending destruction from eternal punishment. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, Paul pictures Jesus returning from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, verse 8, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. People need to be told this over and over and over again. There are so many of our friends, perhaps even family, that we love so much, who don't believe in the necessity of obeying God. And they bought into the devilish doctrine of faith-only salvation. And oh, how we need to teach them these passages that tell us that Jesus is the author of salvation to those who obey Him, and that for those who do not obey the gospel, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Sometimes we sing a song that exhorts us to trust and obey, for there's no other way. Had Israel refused to respect and obey Othniel, their God-sent deliverer, they would have had deliverance. Well, they wouldn't have had they failed to follow Him. Would not have. When people refuse to respect and obey the commandments of Christ, they will never have deliverance. Just as God provided deliverance to Israel through Othniel, He provides deliverance to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must choose to follow Jesus. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Are you a child of God, a Christian? The Bible tells us exactly how to become a disciple of Christ. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After hearing, one must believe in Jesus as God's Son. The Lord Himself said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins," John 8:24. After hearing and believing, one must then repent of his sins. He must make a conscious decision that from this point on, he will no longer serve sin and Satan, but will serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. One must then be willing to confess his faith in Christ. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. One is now ready to be baptized for the remission of his sins. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Baptism is that point where the precious blood of Christ finally connects with our sins and washes them away. If we may assist you in obeying the gospel, you can contact us through our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.